Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my man who has opinions about things. It's Frank. How are you today?
Hello, hello, hello. I'm adapting.
Yeah. Adapting. What are you adapting to? Would you say you're adapting to the use of someone's creative license over you? Are you adapting from your original source material? What are you adapting from, Frank?
You know, that
evolution.
I hope that by the end of today's conversation, we will have figured that out.
I hope so too. Frank, what are you drinking today?
I was very excited to find this in a store. A nearby brewery I'm in southern New Hampshire, over the border in York, Maine. There is a nice brewery called York Beach Beer Company. Mm. I've gone to the brewery. They have a nice selection of beers, and they've got snacks and stuff, and it's right on the beach. So we'll go with our daughter sometimes. It's a nice place to go in the summer at the brewery. But I'd never seen it in stores before, so it was fun to find their long weekend pale ale at a local beer store. I was super excited. So it's the York Beach Beer Company Long Weekend Pale Ale with Amarillo, Citrus, and Pineapple. Amarillo, Citra, and Pineapple. So two different kind of hops, and then pineapple for a finish. And so it's a really nice. It is a pale ale. It's got the sort of bitterness of an IPA, but then it's got a pineapple finish, so it's got this bitter and sweet thing going on at the same time, which I am not always in the mood for, but I'm really enjoying today.
That sounds very good. Very, very good, in fact.
So
I am drinking a Goody Two Shoes Kolsch. Have you ever had the Goody Two Shoes Kolsch before?
No.
It's excellent. Oh, I'm surprised.
I don't know if I know. Is Goody Two Shoes the brewery?
Yeah.
I don't think I know them.
What? Oh, I've definitely had Goody Two Shoes.
Okay, I did use my one lookup, and I'm looking at it. Okay, yeah, I recognize. Exhibit A Brewing Company, Goody Two Shoes Kolsch. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right on. Yeah, I do recognize the Exhibit A. I recognize this logo. It's like the Scales of Justice.
Yeah.
Okay.
If anything represents me, Frank, it's the Scales of Justice.
I would say so. Although that might be taking some creative license. I don't know.
I don't know. I am just a stand with two flat plates attached by chains. I don't know. My nice. Zoom okay. filter doesn't let you see that, but nobody see me in person. Frank, I got a serious question for you.
Oh, okay, serious.
It's not serious at all.
Okay.
There are two kinds of page-to-screen adaptations for geeks to kind of, latch themselves onto in adaptation world. You know, not original, original from the brain, George Lucas, kind of thing. You know, a pastiche. This is more like, I'm going to watch a Spider-Man movie or a Batman movie or whatever. Do you prefer when the movie or TV show, whatever, does a kind of one-to-one parallel adaptation of the movie? Like, we're doing The Death of Superman.
Right.
Here we go. Like, this is the setup. And, you can take a little bit of creative license within that, because you can't exactly do panel by panel by panel by panel. But, you can get pretty close. Let's say DC's All-Star Superman.
Yep.
Something like that. Or when they did Hush or Long Halloween or even Death of Superman, actually, multiple times.
Sure, yes, yes.
And so something like that. Or do you prefer creative license where they're like, all right, here's the character. We're just going to maybe pull some stuff, maybe not pull some stuff, like Tim Burton's Batman, Donner's Superman, maybe the first Captain America, Iron Man, but like, say, not Civil War, right? Mm. You know, where's your comfort zone in this? Like, which one do you actually prefer? Like, are you the kind of fan that's like, oh man, I really wish that they would just adapt this story? Or would you rather see more of an original story on the screen, maybe with some elements that you know?
I have my opinion on this has evolved over time. Mm. I used to be much more of the opinion that I would prefer if they would stick to the source material. Mm-hmm. Very often, and I think the reason I felt that way was I would watch an adaptation of something where some creative license was taken. I didn't like a change they made, and I found myself thinking, oh, I wish they would just make the original. Like, just why couldn't they just have adapted this story or whatever? And so that's sort of the knee-jerk reaction is, I wish they had just kept it the way I know it. But I have come around to the realization that it's really, it's not as good an idea as it might sound to many. It's not as translating those things is not as easy as it sounds, and it may fall flat if you do a one-to-one adaptation. I've seen where like something maybe should have been adapted differently for the medium that it's going to. So I feel like it depends, but generally I prefer something where it is mostly faithful to the to what made it great, right? To what made it so loved to begin with, to the source material, but with changes, sort of minimal changes where appropriate for it to fit the medium or to fit the time period, you know, if we're talking about something that's super old and needs to be brought up to date or whatever. I find that I like something that is maybe it has been changed a little bit, but sort of only where it's sort of necessary, and it's mostly a pretty faithful adaptation. That's what I like things that are a pretty faithful adaptation, generally speaking.
That makes sense. It is a really tricky line. So like, as you were talking, I was thinking of Sam Raimi's Spider-Man movie, which I would consider a creative license movie.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But it does take heavily from some famous Spider-Man storylines, Death of the Green Goblin, spoiler for a movie that came out in 2002. but like, you know, like that's a pretty significant moment that movie has taken and moved into their creative license movie. So you necessarily can't do that moment again. That's a good version of that. Bad version, Batman versus Superman. Like it took the death of Superman and the end of Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
And kind of smushed them all together.
Right.
Bad. Right. Can't do that again. Like it's interesting how like it can go awry so very quickly within the creative license territory if you only take a one portion of it, because you're like, this bit is cool, I'm gonna stick it into this bit right here. And it doesn't have the same impact because like its original material has spent time building up its moment. Whereas a one-to-one adaptation will actually like give you kind of like, it will actually hit you where it hurts.
I agree. I think that's one of the key things is like, if you take just an element in isolation, it might not work maybe it worked because of the context that was around it. And once you try to put it into a different context, it might not work. And if it doesn't work, people will call you on it.
Correct.
You know?
Here's a version that does work. The Dark Knight borrows heavily from The Long Halloween, but it is not an adaptation of The Long Halloween.
Correct.
But it gives you the correct amount of character buildup and arc and narrative. So by the time you get, spoiler for The Dark Knight, Harvey Dent's turn to Two-Face, for a different take than that in The Long Halloween. Like, yeah. It has earned its place still in the story structure, in that version of the story structure. So you feel that, like, it has done itself justice, even though you're not adapting The Long Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That feels better in its, yes. in its own way.
Yeah. I don't consider The Dark Knight an adaptation mm-hmm. of The Long Halloween movie.
No,
right. Like,
I do not either.
Right. It's not. It's when we're talking about something that is like supposed to be an adaptation, like when we're saying like, oh, they're making the, I don't know, Little Women movie. I don't know why I thought of that example, but just like if we're taking,
I'm rolling with it. I love Little Women. It's March Madness.
Sure.
Let's do it. Here we go.
But you know what? It's not the best example because I couldn't tell you off the top of my head what changes Greta Gerwig made, right? Because I haven't read Little Women recently enough. So it's a bad example. But,
narrative,
you know,
structure. It is a
sure.
Yeah.
But like when we're
it.
Talking
Everything
about a specific adaptation of a specific title, right?
Sure.
That's where I'm like, well, I would want it to be mostly faithful. Like if you change the ending or change a character or, you know, change.
Okay.
A,
ooh. All right. I got a better.
Yeah.
I got one. I can go with this. The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Okay.
Disney's
yes.
Hunchback. Like this is a like even if you don't have, you've never read the original book or you've never seen one of the movies you attached to, you know that Disney changed a lot.
Yes.
To make its movie. But Disney's adaptation, like it's close to one-to-one adaptation, right? Is
close.
It's like it made sense for the audience that it was telling its story for.
Very
and
much.
And it's still good.
Yes.
Right. Is that kind of what is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's a good way of yes, that's a good example. See, I think something like Hunchback. I have this, I haven't been able to find the sort of succinct way to express this, but it's a thought that I have very, very often. Do you like New York style pizza? I promise this is going to connect. Do you like New York style pizza?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you explain to people who do not know what New York style pizza is, what the difference is?
Thin crust, you know, round, mm-hmm. 8 slices, sauce, cheese on top, right? That's New York style pizza as opposed to like a Chicago style, which is like the deep dish,
mm-hmm.
Where it's cheese and sauce all sort of inside a more of a casserole type of thick crust.
Mm-hmm.
Those are both called pizza, right? And let's throw in like Domino's for good measure too, right? Three like kind of pretty different.
You wouldn't
think
Domino's is not considered New York style pizza, even though it's
get out of here with that.
No,
get
well,
out
not
of here with
okay,
that.
But not. No, it's a real question. It's a real question. Like, not on taste or quality,
sure,
just
sure.
on the, you know, dough, sauce, cheese.
I don't think they consider it New York style pizza.
Interesting.
For reasons, but my point is, I almost consider those, because of the quality thing alone, I consider like a actual pizza I would get in New York versus Domino's as almost two different foods, but they're both called the same thing, right?
Hmm.
I would consider reading Victor Hugo Hunchback and then seeing the Disney Hunchback. They have the same name, but they're really two different things that are just sort of related. That's the analogy for me, is like, I like them both, but they're different foods. They just have the same name. Like, coincidentally, they have the same name, but really I think of them as two different foods.
Okay.
New York and Chicago style pizza. Right. So that's where if we're dealing with that, where it's like, yeah, I like them both, but they're different. That's like, it's not trying to be an adaptation where, yeah, you don't need to read the book 'cause you've seen the cartoon, right? They're not trying to do that. Whereas like Dune might be something where someone hasn't read the book, but will see the movie. And I'm not saying that Denis Villeneuve would claim, oh, you don't need to read the book because you've seen my movie, but a lot of people will see the movie without reading the book, right?
Absolutely.
Are they getting an accurate telling of what, Frank Herbert had in mind? In the case of Dune, I haven't read it, but it sounds like
it's pretty accurate.
Mostly,
yeah.
Yeah.
I have read it, and it is pretty accurate. They changed some things, arguably for the better. So, like, depending on your perspective and how faithful you want to be. But that's – I would consider that a one-to-one adaptation, right? Because it's not taking the character of Poly Atreides and, like, giving him a brand new adventure. It is following the structure of its original source material. I was even thinking in some ways like the Disney, the live action remakes like, cause this is kind of, so like, Cinderella is my favorite one out of all of those because it takes the basic story of Cinderella. It doesn't really change it, like, but it does add texture and layers to the story that is basic on a surface, like on its really surface. And so it gives like particular reasons in era as to like why the stepmother acts the way she acts. Why is the ball happening in this fashion? How does the prince react to Cinderella? And how does like all of these play off of one another without just doing the movie over again, which I find engaging. But I found, say, like The Lion King incredibly dull because it's a movie I've seen before exactly the same. It's a literally one-to-one, except you changed the animation style from 2D to 3D realism, and it's the same movie.
And I think this is the crux of it, is that if you were going to make an exact, you know, they famously made a shot-for-shot remake of Psycho, right?
Yes, with
and it's
Vince
that
Vaughn.
Is really like, why bother? Like, just go watch the Hitchcock one, right? Yeah. Like, That is, I think, what so many people, when they learn about that, that's the reaction is, why? Why would you just remake the same movie exactly? It is pointless at that point if you're going to make it one for one.
If you're not adding anything or doing anything interesting, it's not like you're sending them into space or anything. Like, you know,
right. And especially if you're keeping it in the same medium, if it's still film, right? It's like just... this doesn't make sense. If you're going from one medium to another and the story stays exactly the same, well, that's different because you're translating it to a different medium. But if you're literally just making the same movie or writing the same book again, like, why would you do that?
Yeah,
there's no point. That's just to finish what I'm saying. Like that's where you kind of need to change something because otherwise, what's the point?
I agree. What's the point? In movie remakes get to a really weird territory with this because, like, when you take too much creative license with a movie remake, people can either flip out or say that it's better or say, like, why bother, right? So, like, the Psycho experiment is like, we usually change things, so what happens if we change nothing?
Nothing,
like,
right.
And the answer is nothing. Nothing happens. Like, it is not worth your time. But I think, like, from a fandom point of view, when people are like, let's take Marvel's Civil War, for instance, Captain America Civil War, people wanted to see Civil War adapted, but, you know, in the MCU, an exact adaptation is impossible because it's missing tons of characters and the weight of the history of those things. And even just, like, the act of terrorism that gets to the point of Civil War in the book is not something that cozy Disney MCU is going to allow.
Right.
And so, or just be comfortable showing. Like, I'm sorry, I don't want to watch a school get blown up in a Marvel movie. I just don't. Yeah. Like, and so you're not going to see it exactly the same. So Civil War, in some ways, really becomes like sidewalk scrape. You know, like, it's not really a Civil War. Because there's not enough of them to go around. You can count how many heroes there are on your hands and toes. And so, from like a one-to-one adaptation.
But I can count without taking off my shoes.
What? I'm wearing sandals, so I can too.
Ooh, best of both worlds.
Gotcha. Yeah. So like as a one-to-one adaptation goes, like that's like, it's not good if that's what you're going for. But me, creative license fan, like, I say, oh, well, at least you're taking the basic idea and giving me something new, which I also prefer at the age that, you know, like I am. That's why I think like the new DC animated movies, like they did a one-to-one, two-part Long Halloween, which I found kind of boring because, like, I knew what was going to happen.
Right.
Every time.
Like, sure.
You know, and it's just like, that's not interesting to me. I'm not like, I don't want to see now, maybe in live action, it gives you something like visually new to look at, but a slow moving animation, like coupled over from a comic page or a couple panels, like there's not enough of a shift for me, like in the two mediums.
I see. The two mediums are so similar, visually similar that okay, I see. I get where you're coming from in that. I have a slightly different opinion, which is if you're going to adapt a comic to an animation, I kind of would like to see a pure adaptation of that, right? Because it's so similar, it's like I want to watch this comic book moving. Like I want to, you know, better than a motion comic. I want a good, well cast, beautifully animated like adaptation of this. So for me, it's like that's part of the appeal of it is like, wow, I get to watch my you know, one of my favorite stories as a movie, like, and even is this similar art style and whatever. That's kind of part of what I enjoy about it. It's almost like, what's the point? The point is, for the same reason you might reread it, you could watch it and get a similar experience.
So call me a double-edged sword or a hypocrite or whatever, because I agree with you if it's a really good adaptation. Maybe I just didn't find that Long Halloween
sure.
was a great adaptation.
Yeah, sure.
But I find that their Dark Knight Returns two-parter was excellent.
Yes.
And I was 100% on board for that, and I will rewatch it. New Frontier is a good example of that.
New Frontier is so good.
It's
yeah,
really
that
good.
That was pretty faithful from what I remember. I saw it a long time ago.
Yeah,
but
I mean, obviously I have to cut things because it's 75 minutes, and the you know, you can't squeeze everything in, but
yeah.
It is a good summation of what's it like of kind of the, you know, script to screen. So some of them really do work.
Yeah.
Others,
yeah,
others don't. On the big screen, I think ultimately I prefer something that's original, like as opposed to an adaptation, like in live action format. I think like the Batman just came out not too long ago. Most of it's original, like you know, and so, but like because the points where it gets the things where it's not, I like not tune out a little bit, but I'm like, nah, I've seen it, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, nah, I knew that. Like
that one's an interesting case because I remember when I was watching it in the theater, I intentionally, you know, didn't know much going in, and I remember being like, "Wait, is this going to be Long Halloween?" Because it starts to feel like Long Halloween at the beginning of it, right? It borrows some
sure
elements
does.
From that. So I was like, "Is this a Long Halloween adaptation?" Maybe, and it wasn't. They just had borrowed some elements, and that was a case where they integrated those elements well.
Yes,
it wasn't like the death of Superman being out of place. They integrated it well into the new story they were telling. It just had some similarities to a story that I knew, but it wasn't an adaptation of it. But that worked well for me.
Yeah, I think even the Arkham Asylum video games are a good example of creative license where it took like bits from comics about the asylum and the history of the Arkhams and it integrated them into like a new take on this universe and these characters and whatever else. But yeah, here's one that sits in a weird spot. 2009's Star Trek. J.J. Abrams Star Trek.
Yes.
It's like, and beyond from, you know, the second one and the third one for that.
Yeah.
Is the first one creative? The first one's creative license. It's not a one-to-one adaptation.
True.
Right? But the second one is.
It gets pretty. It starts to creep into adaptation territory, right?
Right. And it's just not as good when it does that.
No. Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting point. Yeah, I mean the first one goes out of its way to be like, here we are creating an in-universe reason why we can borrow things from Trek, but also do our own version of it, right? Like they from the start were like, here we go, Kelvin timeline. In the first scene of the movie, you're gonna watch the timeline diverge, and everything that happens from here on out can be as similar or different as we want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that works great in that movie. And then, you're right. Into Darkness is this sort of pseudo adaptation of Wrath of Khan that's sort of like can't decide if it wants to be an adaptation or not. And so it sort of falls flat.
Yep.
It has lots of redeeming qualities, but like on the whole, it just sort of feels like a sort of lazy or wishy-washy adaptation of of a great movie,
right? Because
it couldn't really decide, because
you haven't earned your moment thing yet, where it's right. like the death of Captain Kirk instead of Spock and whatever. I'm like, well, I just met these characters, this version of these characters, last movie.
Yeah.
Whereas I sat with the original cast, even though I wasn't alive, for decades
yeah.
before this movie, right? That came before Wrath of Khan came out. And so.
And Khan himself, right? Was
right.
People, fans at least, knew him for over 10 years. Well over 10 years before he was brought back in a movie, right? So, like, they had. Whoa, what a payoff from one episode from 1967 or whatever it was.
But it's funny because, like, I had not seen the Khan episode of the original series before I saw Wrath of Khan. But you Same. Can feel it in the movie. And I recognize that even as a kid when I saw it, that there's so much history there. Maybe because the cast is older, so they just, like, lend themselves to having a history because they're an older cast. So, like, you feel the importance of these events that have taken place and the death of these characters and whatever else. And you just don't get that in something when you try to adapt it too early. Yeah. So, moral of the story is creative license is really tricky. And
It's I think, generally a good thing, but can be done well or poorly, as most things.
Because sometimes when they don't take anything from the source material and they just kind of take the characters and they run with it, then the story can feel very generic. I love them for their own reasons, but see the 90s Batman movies. They don't really take anything from the comics. They kind of do their own thing.
I mean, not to beat a dead horse, but, like, I kind of feel that way about Snyder Man of Steel, where it's like, I feel like you took the names of the characters, but kind of not a lot else.
I think what is more interesting, actually, but to pin those two examples against each other, is that, like, I can actually watch all four Batman movies from the 90s and be like, yes, that's Batman. I recognize that as Batman. I'm comfortable with that being Batman. Even George Clooney's Batman is still a Batman that I recognize. Yeah. It's campy and whatever, but, like, Batman it can be too. So, like, so that's all fine. But Snyder's Superman doesn't have the heart of the character. Or the soul of the character in kind of its narrative. And so it says that it does, but saying that it does is not the same as really having it there. And that's where it falls flat but it is a creative license. It does intentionally move away from its original source material, to its benefit in this case.
Yeah.
For our opinion on it. Yeah. Yeah, it is, like, really, it's really tricky.
It is.
Yeah.
But then, like, something like the Damon Lindelof Watchmen TV series, right? Which is like, let's do a spin-off of, like, let's take this world, this universe, and tell a different story with, like, mostly different characters that just is taking place in the same universe. Like, that can work really, really well. That show worked very well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, a different thing. Like, it's not an adaptation of Watchmen, even though it's called Watchmen. It's just a different story that's happening in the same world, and it shares, like, one character.
Yeah. You know, so to the last episode, you spoke very, very, very briefly about Green Lantern. That's a movie, that's a creative license movie.
Yes.
But that's one where you take too many things and you try to smush them together.
Mm.
And so is it better to try to take I guess it's like which sin is worse here, but, like, is it better to, like, take a bunch of things and try to smush them together, things that we recognize as an adaptation, or to go completely new and have it fall flat on its face?
I don't think it needs to be binary like that, though. That's the thing, is I think that it works best when it's a blend, like Star Trek 2009.
Well, it works best when it's good. Yeah, sure.
Well, but when it's a good combination of those things, like, it doesn't need to be all new or all precisely.
I agree. No, I agree. Right? I'm just asking, if you were going to a movie and it was one of those things, which one hurts you less inside?
what hurts me less inside.
Like, which one would you prefer? Like, if you're like, this movie's going to be bad, but if it's going to be bad, then I'm going
to... If it's going to be bad, I at least want it to resemble the source material.
Oh, that's hilarious, because if it's bad, I want it the other way. I want it to go the other
way. Interesting.
Yeah. What's your reasoning? Why do you want it to resemble the source material?
Well, because if I'm there to see something that has the name, you know, Identity Crisis, then I want it to resemble Identity Crisis.
Mm-hmm. Sure, that makes sense. Yeah, I guess from my standpoint, like if you, Death of Superman, going back to this example, I feel like, well, now for a general audience, you use this, you ruined it for everybody.
Sure, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'd rather have them at least have done something completely different and have it fall flat on its face, because then at least things that are precious or important or that I would like to see done well, like, didn't get messed up. Yeah.
Yeah. So I see that. I see that. I do see that point of view, yeah.
Yeah. But at least from your angle, at least it's still the thing that you recognize.
That's it. Like, maybe it's a poorly done version of it, but at least it's that thing that I came for, right? Like,
right.
It is what it says on the box.
Sure. Sure. It is Captain Crunch versus Kentucky Fried Chicken. I don't know why this is where we've come to.
The Colonel versus the Captain.
Right. Isn't that a movie that you would go see?
Yes.
That's where we are.
I didn't know how bad I needed that. Wait, what else? Can we have like Chester Cheetah versus Tony the Tiger? Like, what?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Toucan Sam versus... Is there another? Oh, the Kellogg's Cornflakes.
The rooster.
The rooster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, obviously Toucan Sam's going to win because the rooster doesn't even have a name.
Yes.
He doesn't even have a flag.
do you have a flag?
Reference acknowledged. Anyway, Frank, I think we're going to spiral out of control over here. So where can the people find us?
You can find us spiraling out of control at beerwithgeeks.com, as we always do. You can find the show notes. You can find links to things we discussed, and you can find past episodes as well if you want to search or dig through the nearly 500 episodes in the archives. You can, of course, find us in any podcast player, wherever you get your podcasts. And please, you know, in the podcast players like Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and anywhere that has ratings or reviews, that really means a lot. So if you could take a minute to do that, we would really encourage that and really appreciate that. And then if you feel like, you know, what more can I do, guys? I like this show. What else can I do? You can go to patreon.com/thoughtbubbleaudio and help us cover some of the costs of doing the show.
Oh, that would be wonderful if you did that. I might do that myself, Frank, even though I am half the show. Frank, it was a pleasure to see you as always. So until next time, cheers.
Cheers.